I want to start by thanking Paula just for organizing a symposium on this topic. I'm of the opinion that K-12 education is both the most challenging and rewarding type of education we can engage in. Challenging because you have to be able to boil down a lot of complex information into a few seed ideas, not simple ideas, but just a few key ideas. Rewarding because once planted, the potential for those ideas to fundamentally change the way people think about the world, and in this case about soil resources, is huge. K-12 education was the goal of the Smithsonian exhibit. My goal today is to spend about a third or maybe even half my time actually making the argument that we need to rethink the way we're approaching K-12 education, and then give some examples of how we tried to do that in the exhibit. Now, K-12 education, as I said, is challenging, but to teach soils is yet more challenging. And the reason for that is that soils are boring. Charles Mann recognized this in his 2008 September piece in National Geographic, and I quote, "Journalists sometimes describe unsexy subjects as MEGO, M-E-G-O, my eyes glaze over. Alas, soil is the essence of MEGO." The essence of it. I mean, come on, that's tough to take. But important to recognize, and important to recognize that this is the public perception. There's another problem, which is soils make people grumpy. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, and I wasn't until a few weeks ago when a colleague sent me this children's book written by Tom Linkenheld titled, "What Are You So Grumpy About?" Well, it turns out this young fellow is grumpy about a lot of things, including the fact that his dad took him to the most boring museum in the universe, which happens to be a soil exhibit, most boring in the universe. And in case you didn't know, dirt was invented in 600 BC, according to this. We have a public perception problem in this field. And, you know, we can try to, you know, explain to people why soils are so important, and we do. But apparently that's not enough. I mean, it works well for professionals. We have a very, very rich community of professionals that do soil science and teaching and outreach. But the public's out there, and without their support, we'll never really get the kind of public support we need to actually affect the way soils are managed. That is the problem. And my point, my central thesis here, is that it's really not enough to argue to people that soils are important. And, you know, that's usually the way we approach this thing. We have to be able to inspire them. And by inspire them, I mean they have to care. They have to have some emotional reason to give a damn. Now, we can approach the issue of climate change by pointing out how important soils are to the global carbon cycle. But if we really want people to do something about climate change, we're much better off putting polar bears on the poster than soils. Why? Because people are inspired by polar bears, even though soils are much more important to the issue. So again, you know, I think we have to, when we're doing K-12 education, first think about how do I make somebody care about the soil. Now, you know, I'm not the first one to recognize this. William Bryant Logan wrote, "How can I stand on the ground every day and not feel its power? How can I live my life stepping on this stuff and not wonder at it?" I mean, I don't know about you, but I find that very inspirational. And by the way, it is an exhibit. Well, you can tell a soil scientist didn't write this. I'm not sure what the first line by Soul Scientist would be, but likely somewhat less inspirational. And of course, this has inspired many people, including Gene Rockow, who's sitting in the back row there, to produce the movie Dirt. If you haven't seen it, you'll have a chance tonight after the SSSA awards banquet, awards ceremony. And when you do, you know, watch what they did in producing this film, because they elicit emotion from the audience. They connect soils to religion, to everyday objects, to, of course, food and any number of things. And while some of you might be upset that the title of the film is Dirt instead of Soil, guess what? Dirt, this word elicits emotion in people, gets their interest, piques their interest, wants to see why would I care about that stuff. It's effective at communicating to the public. And of course, Charles Mann in his National Geographic article recognized this and addressed it visually, the way National Geographic does, not just by putting plain profiles of soils in the pages, which, you know, as soil scientists, we're more than happy to do, but to connect those profiles to people standing on top. See? So you see a person there, you understand, oh, I'm standing on this. And in the soil exhibit, this expressed itself with the fourth of my thy shall not rules, which was that the exhibit shall not focus on agriculture. The reason for that is that agriculture is so important, it tends to be the only lens through which we present the subject. Food, fiber, and fuel, yes, hugely important. But is everyone inspired by agriculture? No, I wasn't, for example. I grew up in Fairfax, which is a suburb of D.C. We didn't have a lot of fields around, but we did have some forests. And what inspired me were forests. I loved walking through forests, rolling over logs, looking for salamanders, walking barefoot through streams. And so in the exhibit, we took an ecosystem approach with the idea that, you know, for people who are inspired by Rocky Mountain streams or maybe African savannas or forests or deserts, well, if they're, and we don't know why they're emotionally connected to these places. Sometimes it's a documentary they saw. Sometimes it's a visit they made or a story their grandparents told. But if they're intrigued by these places and they understand that these places spring from soil, why, then they'll appreciate soil as well. And so in this context, agriculture is still here because we talk about agro-ecosystems, and we have urban ecosystems, but it's one of many, so it's just a matter of sort of enlarging the umbrella. Now, this talk is based on a workshop that I organized with a colleague at the Smithsonian last year at the NSTA National Science Teachers Association meetings, where we introduced them to the soil website as a resource, and walk them through the idea of using it to kind of use it to discuss and introduce the idea of ecosystems, and especially soils at the center of ecosystems. And one of the first things we did was to just do a little exercise where they split up into groups and put on a piece of paper things that are in an ecosystem or in a forest, for example, and they wrote down a bunch of things. And then they had to draw lines indicating how they were connected to one another. And this process, and after all, the workshop was attended by high school K-12 science teachers primarily, helped the teachers themselves understand that soils are actually at the very center of many of what you find in an ecosystem. And so this was a very important step, just the idea that soils and ecosystems have something in common. And then that got us into a discussion. You know, we asked questions, well, how do you suppose that forest out there is able to grow and grow and grow Nobody's out there fertilizing it. How's that possible? Well, because soils are these amazing recycling bins, they recycle nearly everything that the plants and the animals need to grow. People love water. Well, water, streams. Every drop of fresh water is filtered through a soil. They're important to climate, and of course they're important to the human population in a variety of ways: food, fiber, and fuel. So the advantage, we thought, the heuristic advantage of an ecosystem approach is that it is a big umbrella. You can connect nearly any contemporary issue in environmental science to soil through the ecosystem context. And also, it can be a very local thing, too. Everyone has an ecosystem outside their home or their school. So now I just want to point out, when I say that the exhibit has an ecosystem focus, what do I mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we have panels that explain about ecosystems anywhere. That wouldn't work. That itself would be boring. It's just that when we reached out to select examples of something, as we're introducing, as we did in this case, what soils are made of, we reached for examples other than the typical ag example. So here's a pie chart. It actually looks like a pie. And that's the other rule for K-12 education. You got to have some fun. There's the mineral, the organic matter, the minerals, some water, some empty space filled with air. And we asked the visitors to guess which ecosystem these pie charts represent. We have one on the left that's full of water, and it turns out that that is a peat bog with, of course, a bog mummy in it. And the one with very little water is a desert, which, of course, has a jackalope in it, which confuses some people, but I think it's hilarious. And the last one, of course, is an agroecosystem, a nice loamy soil that's just ideal for growing crops. And so here, through the simple act of reaching for unexpected examples from unexpected ecosystems, perhaps, we've kind of broadened the interest in the topic. Another example is the cartoon, where we introduce the idea of soil forming factors, making an analogy between soil formation and recipes. If anyone's ever seen Iron Chef, this cable show Iron Chef, in case you haven't been in the exhibit, these two chefs are facing off. They're giving one common ingredient, sand, and it was a big discussion. Well, what kind of soils are they going to make? Well, alpha sols are very important soils, so we should do those. We talked about this for hours, but in the end, what we wanted was something. We wanted two soils that were obviously very different. There was no room for subtlety, and we ended up with a coniferous forest and a spot of sol, and a peat bog that actually, instead of the process is carrying things down, it's growing upward. And then we had our judges, a turtle, a methanogen, and a thrush to decide which was best. And by the way, it was a tie. We have a bad habit of thinking of soils as terrestrial things. It's just habit. It's how all the textbooks were written that we learn soils from. And a lot of the examples that are always given to us. But yet, soils have everything to do with aquatic systems, streams and estuaries. And in our quiz game that's online, we make a lot of use of that. For example, this question, got the squid that gets its nutrients from zooplankton, the zooplankton from phytoplankton, but where do the phytoplankton get their nutrients? Anybody want to make a guess? What was that? Oh, either you've been to the exhibit or you know your literature. You're right. And, of course, it goes on to explain how wind picks up soil out of the Gobi Desert and deposits it in the Central Pacific Ocean, where it supports the food web there. And so, why don't we ever reach for examples like this in our textbooks, so that people can appreciate connections between, soils and squids or whales? Because they're there. I mean, I'm not reaching. This is, in the scientific literature. And so, you know, we've really made an effort to bring a lot of the features of the exhibit into the website. We're adding more all the time. There'll be more online this week. And I'm just going to show you a couple more examples. Here's a section called Earth's Skin Types, which doesn't appear in the exhibit like this at all. We've adapted the exhibit to the web. And what a visitor can do is click on one of these, you know, soil profiles, classic soil profiles, which I just got finished saying were a little boring, or at least not inspiring for most people. And when they do, they can learn a few things about it. There's a global, the global map, thanks to NRCS. But notice what really catches your eye. Right there in the middle is a picture of a forest that occurs on an alpha sol. And that image, and we look for really rich images here, elicits some emotion in the person, and they connect that image with soil. And now they think about soil a little differently. I mean, people should think about soil the way they think about air and water. Here's another example where you're somewhere in the world looking at a soil profile, and there's some clues, and the visitor has to guess one of the three places on Earth where this profile is. And when they do, there's a video that carries them up through the profile, and then there's a volcano setting off, you know, very dramatic footage, and they learn something about volcanic soils. And I know I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to point out quickly, there is a website associated with the Digit exhibit that can be used to teach ecosystems or any manner of things. There's a media library with nearly all the videos and interactive pieces that are in the exhibit, rich images, all sorts of things for educators, resources, places where they can learn more about soils, state soil information, soil activities specifically for K-12 audiences, and so forth. So remember that soils are beautiful, and to use the Digit website.
Thank you.